working parents who are struggling to secure childcare face a joint problem of access and affordability. A new report shows that there are potentially 3.6 million families in the US who need childcare but can't find any. Michelle McReady is the Interim Chief Executive Officer of the nonprofit Childcare Aware of America, and she joins us now to discuss the group's findings. Michelle, welcome.
Thanks so much for having me, Deepa.
Michelle, we will get to the access issue, which is huge. But first, what are the key highlights from this new batch of data collected by your team on the state of childcare right now when it comes to affordability?
Yes, so we are still seeing such a gap in affordable prices for childcare for so many Americans across the United States. It's around $10,681, which can be, for a single parent, up to 60% of their total household expenses. And so we really are seeing a grim picture with inflation going up and actually the price of childcare outpacing inflation at pretty significant rates.
I mean, and that 10,000 figure you quote per year, you know, I know in past years it's been compared to the cost of going to college, but really I think what we should take away from this is also just the percentage of one's income. If that's over 50%, in some cases 60, as you mentioned, how do people even afford this?
That's a great question. And I'm glad you mentioned the annual price of a four-year college. We saw in every single region that childcare actually outpaced the cost of in-state tuition. And so we are seeing parents really have to cobble together, take out of their savings, you know, really try to borrow even loans in some cases to try to pay for this exorbitant cost to their family and household budget that really hits them hard.
And then the other part of the problem, which your report found, and I think many parents around the country feel acutely, is there isn't really that much available. Now, your colleagues connected us with Ashley Burns, the CEO of Indiana Diaper Bank, to share her frustrating experience with access. And she says the last few months looking for childcare for her 18-month-old foster baby felt like a full-time job. She and her family spent 7 weeks calling around 42 locations in her surrounding counties before successfully securing a spot. Let's just take a listen to her. She says it's been a huge relief.
I no longer have to plan Zoom calls around a nap schedule. My husband and I are able to work our full-time hours and jobs, so we are able to provide for our new foster placement and our family. Fostering is hard enough, and adding not being able to find childcare made it feel hopeless.
I mean, 7 weeks and 42 locations to find a spot for her child. How often do you hear stories like this?
Unfortunately, Ashley is not alone. We do know, and we saw from our data, that out of the 12.3 million children that have parents in the workforce, there were only 8.7 million licensed childcare spots available, resulting in a gap of around 3.6 million. So that's a very significant gap. And really, we've found that parents that want that flexibility and that care that is quality, especially with infants and toddlers, that really there's not the spaces available to meet the demand.
I mean, it sounds a bit like a crisis if there are so many less seats available than babies, toddlers, and children under five.
It really is. And among the 40 states that Child Care Aware of America looked at, we also found a 10% decrease in family child care homes over the last 3 years that were used to be available. And this is an alarming trend because family child care homes are really an affordable option, a community option for so many families. Mm-hmm. It's an important choice. And so we are concerned about this trend and really know that parents are really grappling to find childcare right now.
And family childcare homes are people who run childcares out of their own home. They're licensed, usually in the county or their state, and that's a big part of the childcare map. What does it mean in the context of parents being able to work if their kids don't have care?
It's such a critical part. If the pandemic didn't teach us anything else, it was, you know, that childcare was front and center to make sure that parents had peace of mind so they could continue to work, even on Zooms and all the ways in which we had to. And when childcare was not available, we really don't have a workforce that's available.
Yeah. Just finally, we only have a few seconds left. Any recommendations? Is there any silver bullet to solve this?
So the pandemic has highlighted, right, the pre-existing challenges with the system of early education. And there was significant investment made during the pandemic. And right now, Congress is considering federal appropriations bills to have an increase to the Child Care and Development Block Grant in a significant way. And so investing in the system and continuing those investments will really help ensure that the child care workforce is compensated adequately and that families can have affordable options to choosing childcare.
Michelle McReady is the Interim Chief Executive Officer of Child Care Aware of America. Michelle, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Let's bring in a member of Congress now to talk more about policy solutions. Oh, hi, baby Hodge. Okay, no, we're not going to be talking to this super cute little baby, but we are going to be talking to little Hodge's dad. He's California Democrat Jimmy Gomez, who recently co-founded the Congressional Dads Caucus. Representative Gomez, welcome to Here and Now.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So our audience may remember you as the guy who wore your son Hodge in a carrier on the House floor last month during the speaker election of Kevin McCarthy. There were pictures all over the internet and social media. You made a lot of people go, wow, with that baby carrier. Tell me why you brought your baby, especially to such a contentious vote.
Well, for me, it was very simple. It was like before he was born, I wanted to bring him to the House floor when I was getting sworn in. I'm a first-time dad. I'm proud of my son, and I just wanted to show him off. And also, I think it tells the story of America. I'm a son of immigrants, and in one generation, my dad was a bracero worker, worked in the fields, and my mom cleaned homes and a laundry room attendant in a convalescent home to a member of Congress, and he's an inheritor of that American dream, that story. And so I wanted to bring him just for that simple reason, to show him off.
You know, seeing you with your baby did make me wonder what would happen if a woman did that in the workplace. I'm not sure it would go down as well.
No. You know, one of the things I acknowledge that the attention that I received from that situation was outsized. And that's where you see that double standard. So the double standard is real.
And so you found the Congressional Dads Caucus. What do you hope to achieve?
Well, the concept of the Congressional Dads Caucus is simple. Men need to do their equitable share of the parenting at home and in advocating for policies that impact working families. That's why one of the things we want to do is push for a national paid family leave program that focuses on working people, the expanded child tax credit that proved so successful during the time it was implemented, cut child poverty from 40 to 60%, depending on where somebody lived, and affordable child care that I think people at a lot of different income levels feel the pain. So we want to make sure that we can advocate for those policies.
Representative Gomez, I want to ask you, with all due respect, some of these things are things that women, feminists, mothers, even the Congressional Mamas Caucus have been pushing for. We don't seem to have much movement on it. In some ways, childcare and other issues are getting worse. How do you plan to use your platform? And I have to say, maybe your male privilege to help in this issue.
Exactly. First, I'm a member of the Mamas Caucus. I was one of the original members. And that's because I've been working on these issues for my entire career. And what happened was I want to just use the momentum of all the attention that was on Hodge, the fact that there is a double standard, that people pay attention to male legislators when they're talking about these issues that women have been advocating for a long time, in order to kind of push and make sure that we get more support. Maybe we can deliver a different message. Maybe we can just keep the public's attention on it. But we're going to be working hand in hand with the Mamas Caucus. Rashida Tlaib is a member who is the chair of the Moms Caucus of the Dads Caucus. So we see this as working hand in hand.
And what about bringing Republicans on board? So far, your caucus is 20 Democrats, but no Republicans.
Well, here's the thing. People have different ideas. Good example, the child tax credit, for example. We prefer that it's fully advanceable and refundable. Why? Because if it only applies to the people that owe taxes, then it doesn't help working people that often need the help the most. So you end up having a situation where you're helping people, you're not helping people that are in the most need. That's a big policy difference that we're fighting with Republicans. That's a priority of mine because I know that's going to have a huge impact on cutting child poverty in this country because we already showed it. So there are differences in how we approach these programs, and we have to have those debates. And maybe we can bring some of them over, or maybe we can look at it a little differently to have the same impact. We still don't know.
Jimmy Gomez, Democrat from California and co-founder and chair of the Congressional Dads Caucus. Representative Gomez, thank you.
Thank you so much.